I really believe, I'm kind of excited about this message. I'm excited about a lot of them, but I really feel that what we're going to be talking about today, talking about the armor of God, we're doing the second part of Stand Your Ground. There's so much to this, and what we're looking at with the armor today is just kind of a launching pad, and I believe it's foundational in what we need to be able to grab a hold of to be able to win the battles that we face. We live in a world that's full of deception and misinformation. And one of the biggest problems our country is facing is that the media no longer reports the news. The media makes the news so that we stay divided. And so we need to be able to cipher through that. And as Christians, we need to get our information from another source. And we know where that source is. And that source is through the Lord. And how we get that is we need to buy into revelation knowledge. There's a difference between information and revelation knowledge. Now, revelation knowledge is what comes from God. And that's where we need to be able to tap into. And in the media, they always say they're supposed to get several sources to prove that something's true, and a lot of them don't do that. But, you know, we get our information from one source, and that's God. And God's word needs to have the final say in our life. And I believe me, you know, I was just thinking about my life, and I've been saved over 30 years probably now or so, and I was just wondering, you know, why does, I don't want to brag or nothing, but why does it work for me, but I watch it and it doesn't work for other people? You know, it just frustrates me. Why can't I not communicate this in a way that maybe everybody's not getting it, you know? And what we're going to look at today, I think, is two foundational things that I think will, if you buy into this, I think it's really going to assist you. And maybe you already have, but, you know, I really think what we're going to get into today is really going to help. Now, we're going to look today at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 to 17. Last week, I think we finished around verse 13, so I wanted to pick up there and start with this. It says, "Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith, which is able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your word and the power that's in it. We thank you for the anointing here. Lord, we take authority over any disturbance, any distraction, anything that tries to rob the flow of the word of God today or the flow of your Spirit. We bind it up in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the powerful worship we had so far in this service. But Lord, we just want to continue on.
Thank you,
Lord, to be able to go deeper and deeper in the things of God. Lord, I yield to that gift you've given me. I use it for your glory. And I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to be looking at the first two pieces of armor today. We're going to break them down two per week. And, you know, what this is talking about is the things that you and I need to understand to be able to fight the good fight of faith. Now, I want to say this and just throw it out there. We don't have to be everything all at once. We need to grow in our armor, okay? Don't compare yourself with somebody, you know, who may be a lot farther along in their walk with God than you are and then get discouraged. Use them as an inspiration, somebody that you can see, yeah, if they can do it, I can do it. Amen?
Amen.
But so be ready. See, David, when he was going to go out and face Goliath, Saul, with his lightning-quick intellect, which was wrong, he told him to go take my armor. Well, David couldn't fit in that armor. It was too big for him. Saul was a very tall Jewish person. As a matter of fact, it said that he stood head and shoulders above the rest. And here's David, still probably a young teenager, around 13, 14 years old. And, you know, he just couldn't use that stuff. So just be content with the things that God has given you. See, my job as a pastor is not to entertain, but to equip you for service. And that's what we're going to do today. Okay, the first point I want to look at is the idea of the evil day. Now, I don't want to oversell this, but I do know that we do live in perilous times. I believe we're living at a time that is very dangerous, and many Christians are under attack, our beliefs are under attack, and all the things that we need to hold on to. And like I mentioned before, the media tries to divide and bring division. And as long as there's division, there'll never be unity. Okay? And we as believers need to stay unified in the faith. And it's important, and that's why it's so important to come to a local fellowship like this and get connected, and like the studies we're going to do tonight at 6 p.m. for those living in the Albia area, you know, for the men and the women. You know, because here's what's going to happen. We see how powerful the government can be when they shut things down. It wouldn't take a lot for the government to be able to close the churches again and just make it illegal to go. Well, what are you going to do then? But see, if you have a network of people in your life, a network of believers, to be able to stand with you, well, then you're going to be okay. You know, you're going to be okay. So that's why we need to make sure that we get connected. Now, we're living in the last days, the Bible says, and those started when Jesus left. But many believe we're living in the last of the last days. A lot of things are lining up. Hey, I'm excited. You know, a lot of people look at it, it's a bummer, you know, oh man, these bad things are going to happen. Hey, I just look at it, it's getting closer to Jesus coming. Amen. You know, I long for that. That's why I do this. You know, I want the Lord to come. But if he don't come in my lifetime, I'll just go to be with him and wait for the rest of his. You know what I'm saying? So I'll do that. Now, says here the word evil day. Now, evil day, in the what it's talking about here in the Greek, it says evil in a moral or spiritual sense, an evil that corrupts others. To me, it shows that evil is contagious. There's a lot of evil in this world, and sometimes it stimulates other people to do evil. You know, it just amazes me the things that people try to get away with. And there's no sense of morality, no sense of doing the things that are right. And it's just amazing just how far away we've gotten. And that's why we need to get back to the place that God wants us to be, because you and I, we're living in a day of deception. And we're going to go into that a little bit more. See, the world system is trying to tell you and I what to think. And I'll be honest, no matter if you're Republican or Democrat, what station you want to, all those peoples on them stations, whether you're left or right, are telling you what to think. They don't give the whole message. They don't give the whole picture for the most part. At least I've never found one that does yet for a long time. They all have their slant. They all have their way. And they just want us to think a certain way so they can control us. Now, I'm not a government worrywart, you know, or something like that, but I do know I have enough sense, you know, to think for myself. And I look what the Bible says, and I hold on to what God says, and take that, you know, take that, because the world system is against us. Now, the world system pushes for confirmation while God's word brings transformation. That's why we need to spend time in God's Word. You know, you don't have to spend days or hours in it, you know. Just try to get into the Word of God, wherever you feel comfortable. Start there. But get into the Word of God. Read it every day. You know, you don't have to set a timer or whatever the case may be, but just try to get into God's Word. Every Christian needs to read their Bibles. You need to read your Bible. You know, and start in the New Testament. You know, if you're just kind of getting started, you know, and you're, you know, you may not like reading as much, but just start in the New Testament. You know, start in Matthew and start reading there and get the picture of what God is saying to you as a Christian. And you just spend a little bit of time every day and you'll get it. It'll start to materialize. You'll start to see the picture. I like to equate it, you know, like those when you're a little kid, you know, I can't draw and I'm an adult right now. But you know them paint by numbers or them numbers things, you know, you just follow the numbers. If you can count, you can do this, amen, you know. And if you just follow those and all of a sudden a picture materializes. Well, it's like that with the Word of God. You keep putting the Word of God into your heart, all of a sudden there's things going to materialize. And I'm going to go into the two most important things that I believe for the Christian walk here in a moment. Now, we're all going to be faced with some kind of evil. That's just the way it is. You will not escape it. You know, right now we have brothers and sisters over in Africa and over in Afghanistan and other countries who are being forced with life and death decisions. Now, ours may not get to that extreme, they may. But what will we do when we're faced with that kind of evil? What will our decision be? You know, physical weapons are useless against the spiritual enemy. You know, if we're fighting the devil, you can't fight him with physical weapons. It just won't work. And that's why we need to make sure, because I guarantee you, and you've probably maybe experienced this, I know I have a time or two in my life, but we're all going to go through a situation where our world is going to be rocked. There's some attack from the devil that's going to come against you sometime in your life, and your world is going to fall apart. And there's nothing you could probably do about it except stand your ground. Thank you. That's the only answer.
Thank you.
Stand your ground. Because those things, those attacks do come, and they're painful. They're emotionally. And, you know, there may be some physical things, but I'm talking about more like spiritual and emotional wounds that are going to attack us. Maybe the death of a loved one, and we get to the why, God, why? And all those things start coming into your mind and trying to figure out and cipher this out. You know, some things are just going to be hard. That's when we really just need to stand our ground and just be ready for what God can do through us, because He's going to do something. Because we're going to be out of control. It's going to make our head spin. And when those things happen, what are we going to do? You know, we're going to be grabbing for any kind of lifeline. We need to make sure that we grab a hold of God's Word. Because when those attacks happen, we're vulnerable. Especially if your depth in the Word isn't as deep as it needs to be. You know, the Bible talks about a man who built a house on rock, and then one who built one on sand. And then when the winds and the storms came, guess what? The one on the rock stood while the one on sand fell down. So, yeah, things are going to happen. I don't want to be a doom and gloomer. We're going to get to the good news here in a minute. But and most of you have probably felt some pain in your life, you know, some things that's went on. And you just know that, you know, if you can get through it, you know, God will bring you through to the other side. Just hang on. It's going to get better. Now, you remember how it works. This is what I understand. Remember the children of Israel. And I talked about Saul a moment ago and David. You know, remember how that worked when Goliath came out? You know, he had bombarded the children of Israel for weeks, and he had been speaking, taunting them, just speaking death to them. And they all stood there, and they just listened to that giant, this big giant. Now, Goliath represents a big problem, amen? You know, if you got somebody about, 9 foot tall, or I don't know how tall he was, I mean, that's a problem. That's a big problem. You know, he has a big sword, has a big spear, has a big shield. I mean, he's just big. And see, that's the kind of problems. And see, he just kept taunting them. He kept cursing them by his gods. And the children of Israel didn't speak back to him. They just took it. They just listened, and they listened, and they got weaker and weaker. They got more fearful and more fearful. Till all of a sudden, a little boy came along. And he heard that. And he said, no more. My God is bigger than that giant. And little David went out and he slew that giant. Any of those people could have stood on the covenant of their God. They had the same covenant David had. And they all stood there and just took it. Are you tired of taking it yet? Are you tired of listening to what the devil says? Saying that you can't, you'll never make it? That's why we need to stand our ground. That's why we need to fight the good fight of faith. Now the first part we're going to look at here, I'm going to read the scripture. In Ephesians 6:14, it says, stand firm therefore. Okay, it says stand firm. Well, how do you stand? It says, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So we're going to first look at the loin belt of truth. Now, I don't know about you, but I want you to think about this for a minute. You're going against a Goliath-sized problem, and God leads with the belt. You know what I'm saying? He leads with a belt. I mean, that's the first piece of armor that God mentioned, is the belt. Now, I do know belts can hurt a little bit. I've had the belt in my day, you know, because I was not a perfect child, like many of you. And my parents loved me enough to spank me. Amen? Amen. Nobody's out there. Okay. Maybe you never got spanked. I know some kids should be spanked. I won't mention who they are. But anyway, you know, the belt is okay. The Bible says you don't hurt them, you don't abuse them, but you drive the foolishness from the child. I've ran into some foolish children in my day, you know, as a pastor, but amen. We don't spank here at the church, so you're safe to come. We let your parents, we try to encourage your parents to do it. Amen. Click, 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 click. Everybody's clicking off now. Anyway, so here's what I want to see. is the fact that the belt is important, because you wouldn't think so, but some of the other weapons would hang on the belt. You know, you had the sword, you had the shield, and then you had the breastplate of righteousness, and it was held down by the belt. And you can all picture this stuff, right? You know what a sword is. You know what a breastplate is. You've seen them. Matter of fact, just weirdly the other day, there was something on TV, and it showed these guys, they were from another country, and they had found an old breastplate that they used in medieval times, and they shot it with an arrow, and it never even dented. It just hardly even made a little scratch. You know, that breastplate was that strong. I mean, if you're in a battle, this is where the important stuff is, your head, and in here, your heart, your organs, and all that. That's why you have to protect that part. You want to keep that stuff there. But yet, God led with the truth, the belt of truth. Now, what we see is that the belt holds everything together. And that's what I want to look at. It keeps your hands free for service. And, you know, if you was holding a sword in one hand, a shield in the other, man, you can't even, you know, get yourself something to drink, can you? You know, you can't eat. You got stuff in your hands, you know. Or if you're going to wrestle with somebody or fight or whatever, you know, push somebody. You know, so they would hang the sword wet in the scabbard, you know, and then the shields were kind of big, but there was a little clip they put on there. And it just kind of kept it free. You want your hands free. And it also kept that breastplate tied down. I mean, if somebody's going to, you know, you're fighting and they got a sword in one hand and your breastplate ain't tied down, all they got to do is take their other hand and grab the breastplate, pull it out a little bit, and you're dead. You're dead. Because you weren't held together. You weren't tied down. Well, what holds us together? Truth. Remember I said deception is one of the worst things that you and I face in the world today? The only way you're going to win that battle is with truth. Truth. Pontius Pilate, you know, when he was talking to Jesus, he said, "What is truth?" Well, we know Jesus is truth, right? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so there's power that's in truth, because the only way that you and I are ever going to recognize deception is to know the truth. You know, and the idea is that deception, usually what it does, it throws a half-truth in there to make it look like, yeah, that sounds right. But then it leads to the way of death. It makes it so that, you know, we're vulnerable, and then our armor can be penetrated. And so if Satan's main weapon that he uses against you and I is deception, how important is to know the truth? Remember, he's a deceiver. He'll try to get you to be deceived, to think the lie is the truth, and then you won't be able to walk in the power of God. See, here's what I've found. You ever heard that the truth hurts? Well, the only way the truth hurts is when it reveals that we've been living a lie. That's when it hurts. That's when it reveals that we've been doing things maybe just not quite right. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to be wrong. How many likes to be wrong here? Anybody? Probably not. We all like to think we're walking in the truth. But see, God's word has a way of changing our life. It's just, there's power in it, people. There's power in the word of God. Amen. It can change us. It can transform us. It can make us into who God wants us to be. Because believe me, one thing I don't like is to be deceived, and deception's bad. And the only thing worse than deception is self-deception, when we deceive ourselves. You know, when we believe the lie. That's why we need the whole counsel of God. Now, some people, I ask them, how do you read the Bible? How do you read the Bible? I'm just curious. See, I read through the Bible every year. Cover to cover, not the maps or nothing. I don't do that. But anyway, you guys ain't getting my jokes today. I must have not prayed up enough or something here. But anyway, you know, it takes about 10 minutes, 10 minutes a day, and it's broke down for me, and I just read through the whole thing. And yeah, some of it, yeah, I just, your eyes about glaze over when you're doing the genealogies and stuff. But you know, I skip some of them. I'll be honest, some of them names don't mean nothing to me. But when it gets to the main part, if my mind wanders, I go back. I start all over again. You know what I mean? But I read through the Bible every year, and I've been doing it for it's getting close to probably 30 years. I don't know everything, but I do know when something's wrong. You know what I mean? That don't sound right. Why? Because I've went over it so many times. You know, I know the truth, but it really helps me to recognize a lie. When somebody misquotes a scripture, especially those politicians, you know what I mean? Have you ever seen those politicians try to quote God's word sometimes? You know, they just get it wrong. I don't know who their writers are, but read the Bible. You can at least Google it. At least get the wording right. You know, but you want to just know, because we need the whole counsel of God. See, the Bible's not like the grocery store, and I've shared this before. Now, I don't do a lot of shopping. My wife likes shopping, so I let her. I go buy what I need. I just boom, 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 go get it. But when I go to the grocery store, I don't go down every aisle. There's some aisles I don't need anything there, so I just blow right by it. But see, there's a lot of people that treat God's word that way. Well, I don't like that passage. I don't really get that, you know. So they just don't read that part, or they don't read that book. You know, and that's why we can't afford that. You know, we need to make sure that we look at the whole counsel of God and get into what God's saying. So it's important that we get into the truth, because we need to read the Logos if we're ever going to get the Rhema. And we want them Rhema spots. Now, to explain that just a little bit, Logos is the whole counsel of God, the whole Bible. And that's, you know, we need to read that. But every now and then, when you're reading the Bible, something's going to jump out at you every now and then. Boom. There's a scripture that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's going to just, I don't know, make bigger. And all of a sudden it's going to interest you. Well, that's code for stop. Read it again. Read it again. Write it down. Jot it down. Maybe start meditating on it a little bit. Kind of, you know, like meditate where it means chew the cud, you know. Kind of get into that. That's a truth that God wants to get to you right now. He must think you need that, you know. And he wants to reveal something to you. So that's how we hold on to that. So truth is the first thing that we need. And it's a revelation that we have to do, that we want to walk in the truth. We want to be able to know everything that God has for us. Now, the next part is the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this is really important also. I really feel that these two things, deciding to, you know, go with the attitude of truth, meaning whatever God's word says is what I'm going to do. If it goes against God's word, I believe what God's word says. That's important, point number one. Now, the next one that we're going to look at is this breastplate thing. And it talks about righteousness. And that's a hard word for us to understand sometimes. You know, the righteousness of God. You know, when you think of God, righteousness has, you know, the idea of being, you know, perfect, imperfection. And we think of God that way. But how do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? You know, this is key. For some reason, I understood this early in my walk. I thank God I was in a church like this one that actually talked about these sort of things. Because righteousness, if you understand who you are in Christ, you got it. You'll never feel condemned again. Never. Because you know who you are and where it comes from. See, what we have to understand, you know, the Bible says put on the armor of God. And most of you had little kids, and you probably say, hey, put your armor on. So a little kid, they put on their helmet, and they, you know, put on their breastplate. It's kind of cute. That's all fine. But our armor doesn't come from the outside. Our armor comes from the inside. It's spiritual armor, remember? Yes. Where's your spirit at? Inside of you. Your spirit and soul are inside of you. So when you put your armor on, it comes from the inside, and it has largely to do with your self-image, your image of who you are in Christ. And the stronger your self-image is in Christ, the stronger your armor is, because that's where it comes from. This is foundational in the things that we understand, because truth reveals our righteousness in Christ. And you've heard me tell that story. I've told it so many times, you can probably tell it better than me. But, you know, Denise and I, you know, I used to put 3x5 cards, little, you know, recipe cards on the mirror in the bathroom. And, you know, you'd see a scripture, then you just kind of think about it. And, you know, when I put there, it said, he who made him who knew no sin to become, you know, that we've become the righteousness of God in him, you know, that we're righteous because of Christ, okay? Well, Denise and I were in an argument about something. We were first married, and, you know, we did that a lot. That's because we were two opposite people, just had different opinions. And we're in an argument, and, you know, and I was, you know, used to that, you know, in my life a little bit. She wasn't that way. So I opened her eyes in the area of arguments, I guess, a little bit, which not in a good way. But I had to go to the bathroom because it's a long argument, you know what I mean? So I went in the bathroom, and I looked at that mirror, and I come out and told her right in the middle of an argument, I am still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Didn't go well. She didn't receive it at that time. Matter of fact, it boom, escalation, you know? Timing is everything, men. Remember that. Timing is everything. But it's true. My righteousness is not based on my actions. My righteousness is based on what Jesus did. The Bible says it's imputed. It's put into your account. How many would love people to put some money in your account? Matter of fact, I got a couple bank deposit statements or slips I'd like to pass out today. You know, as you feel led, just fill one out and put some money in there. But see, that's what Jesus did for us. You know, our armor doesn't come without, but it comes within, and it has to come from the inside. And see, this righteousness that I'm talking about comes by a revelation from Christ on who we are and what we have, what it says that Jesus says. And that's why you have to read the Bible. That's why you have to get into the Word of God. Prayer, for the most part, will not give you a revelation of righteousness, unless God speaks to you, I guess, through your prayer. Praise and worship will not give you the revelation of that righteousness. It comes through the Word of God when you start to read it and you know, and see finally who it is, what God says, and it's by that revelation. And we have to have that inner revelation. It has to come on the inside. Now, like I said before, information and revelation. You know, there's people that have it mentally. And I've always said there's a lot of people going to miss heaven by 12 inches, the distance from their head to their heart. It's more than just a mental understanding of what the Scripture says. It has to be something that you've been imparted to you through the Rhema Word of God that you've experienced what it is to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, how many ever have pulled out a picture? And see, we all put that picture, and I'll tell you what, sometimes you look at a picture, wow, is that really what I look like? You know? You look at that picture. But see, here's the thing. Whether you understand it or not, we all have an inner picture inside of us that we how we see ourselves. There's an inner picture in there. And that inner picture is how you look at yourself and how you are going to relate to the world around you. If you feel small, you're going to act small. You're going to relate small. If you feel that you're inadequate, you're going to act inadequate. You're going to be inadequate because that picture is how you see yourself. God wants us to see ourselves as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have easy access to our Heavenly Father. It's not based on what we've done, but it's based on what Jesus Christ done for it. And we receive it by faith. And it's hard to receive that. Maybe you've been beaten down your whole life. Maybe people have cursed your identity. Maybe have told you that you're no good, that you're never going to be nothing. You just need to erase that from your memory. Because that inner picture is so important. You know, we don't walk with the revelation of His righteousness, we're going to be doomed to walk dominated by the devil's condemnation. And it bothers me when I see believers who I love so much walking around feeling condemned because the devil is telling them what they used to be instead of what God, and instead of them believing who God says they are right now. Yes, we're going to make mistakes, and I'm not making I don't mean anything by this, that it's a flippant way that we can just go out and sin and do whatever we want, because that's not how it works either. You know, if you love somebody, the last thing you'd want to do is hurt them, right? So if we're into the position that we love Jesus, yeah, we're going to stumble along the way. You know, I'm no longer a sinner, even though I may sin. I'm not a sinner no more. I'm a Christian. I do make mistakes. I do sin. But I'm not a sinner. That's not who I am. I am a child of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who Jesus said. I'm not being bragging about that, but that's what God said. And I have to believe it. I have to believe it. How long do you have to get it? You just keep working. You got to believe it. See, if we allow Satan to curse our identity, we will always walk in condemnation. We cannot allow him to win those battles anymore. Our mind is a battlefield, and we need to be ready, because that righteousness, what it does, it reveals our identity, and it's all about identity. Who do you think you are? You know, some people could say that accusation. Well, who do you think you are? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, righteousness is not based on merit. It's based on birthright. I have been born into this when I was born again. See, it's nothing I could do to make it any better. You know, you see somebody who's born like the king of England, let's say he had a child. You know, that child is automatically a prince or princess. It doesn't matter. They don't have to feel like it. That's just who they are. That's their birthright. And see, that's why we must be born again. Amen. And the idea of what that brings, being born again. I can see when I was born again that I got a totally fresh start. I don't have to try to fix my past. Jesus' blood just washed it away. And see, that righteousness reveals that identity. And see, our identity is not what we do or what we've done, but our identity is in who God says we are. And it's important. Now, if you're selling real estate, what is it? Location, 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 right? In Christianity, it's identity, identity, identity. This is the most important thing you could fix in your life. This will get you where you need to go. I'm not saying there won't be battles, there will. But let's just say that you're not going to see yourself as some wimp. You're going to see yourself as a warrior. You're going to see yourself as a child of God.
Yes.
If God's got your back, who can stand before you?
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Who can stand before you? Just a fact. These are just facts. This is truth. This is truth I want to throw out there just so that we can grab a hold of this, because we're in a battle, and what it is God wants us to do, he wants us to have the victory. Because unless, and it all comes by that revelation. To me, revelation knowledge, that's why Ephesians talks about pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. Pray that prayer. Look that up in Ephesians 1. Write that down. Oh God, give me the right eyes. Help me to see as you want me to see. Help me to see what you want me to see. You know, because unless you see who Christ says you are, you will never be who Christ says you are. But you won't get that unless you read the Word. The Word, the truth, the Word of truth. See, remember the difference between David and that army of Israel when it came down to dealing with Goliath? See, the army believed Goliath and David believed what God said. And that's as simple as that. We can read about that in the Bible and say, oh yeah, that happened a long time ago. I'll never run against that. Well, we all run against Goliath all the time. And when we're faced with that giant in our face, you know, we have a choice to make. Well, do we believe what God said, or do we believe what that liar is saying to me right now? Am I going to believe that liar? Because that's what the devil is. He's a liar. He just lies, lies, lies. But yet, he holds a lot of people, just like the children of Israel, in bondage. None of them wanted to go down because, you know, they believed his lies. A couple closing points I just wanted to share is that when we go into battle, we need to be wrapped in truth and standing in the righteousness of Christ. You just need to mentally and physically and spiritually prepare yourself. See, if the church can get a revelation of our righteousness in Christ, it will lead to a revolution in our nation against evil. See, evil tries to keep us in here. For the most part, it's not evil in here, right? Hypothetically. I mean, I know sometimes stuff happens in churches, but, you know, see, the evil says, hey, you guys stay in there. Don't bother us. We'll do what we want. You got to speak out. Truth changes the lie. It'll turn that situation around. See, when Christians walk in God's truth and God's righteousness, we will never be defeated. Never be defeated again. But we have to walk in truth and righteousness. And Like I mentioned, truth and righteousness are the two greatest revelations we'll ever receive. So this week, I kind of would like you to meditate on these things. Who you are in Christ. And we have these little book cards around here somewhere. We can maybe get you some. It talks about who you are in Christ. And, you know, please don't live Sunday to Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
It's got to be daily word. That's why God talks about daily bread. You don't have to read for hours. Just set a goal. I'll read 15 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. Get in the New Testament. Start to read that. If something, you don't understand it, jot it down. Jot that scripture down. Start thinking about it. There's some other ways we can, if you come see me, I can tell you about some other ways you can dig a little deeper in the Word. But it's just so important, people. You know, I know I'll never have the biggest church, but I really believe I can have the strongest church. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. I'm so proud of you people. You know, I'm proud of you. I've watched you in action. But we don't want to get lazy, do we? Don't want to think we've arrived and not have to go any harder. You know, amen. Let's pray.